Coming up next, the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly meeting tonight in Juneau downtown and Douglas, lows around 10, northeast winds to 25 miles per hour with gusts to around 40 miles per hour, and out in the valley, lows around 5 below. Tomorrow, mostly clear, highs around 15.
Madam Clerk, will you call roll, please?
Yes. Mr. Bryson?
Present.
Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Here.
Ms. Hale?
Here.
Ms. Hughes-Scandes? Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Treem?
Here.
Mayor Weldon?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Seeing there's no special order of business, we'll go to approval of minutes. Ms. Treem?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just handed Ms. Cathcart some minor grammatical corrections, but other than that, there were no changes. What am I doing? I'm moving that we approve them.
Thank you, Ms. Cream. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, the minutes are approved. Manager's request for agenda changes?
Madam Mayor, I have one request, and that would be that we add a staff report. The port director, Mr. Yucatil, intends to be here later in the meeting, and he will give an update on the lumbermen.
And I'm sure we'll appreciate that because we've noticed it has moved. So, thank you, Mr. Manager. Okay. Public participation on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk. Okay, it looks like we have two that are scheduled for public hearing and two for non-agenda items. So we'll bring up Lisa Daugherty. I'm reading that right. And we'll give you 3 minutes. Please state your name and the area of town you live in or your street address.
My name is Lisa Daugherty, and I live on North Douglas.
It's very sensitive.
Okay. Okay. Hi. The Assembly and CBJ are constantly saying that they want to create affordable housing. My family tried over nearly a two-year period to develop our property on North Douglas. Because of a 9-inch projection into a 17-foot setback, we've been denied from extending our driveway to the rear of our lot to build a new home. It seems like this is what variances are for, but CDD was unwilling to budge since we could proceed by other means. Those means, according to them, included simply moving the existing home 9 inches, cutting 9 inches off the home, tearing the home down, or putting a second driveway on the other side of the lot. Please tell me why moving, cutting apart, or tearing down a home is being recommended by CDD staff, including the director. Please tell me why the CDD staff and director approved the same exact variance request to Duran Construction this summer, but my request was denied a week later. The two cases were the same, except Duran built first, got busted, then applied for, and was granted a variance. I did the right thing by applying first. I am asking you to investigate the bias towards developers and against individuals in the CDD. I am asking you to make changes so that people can develop their lots in practical ways. You hand out money for people to add accessory apartments to their homes, you make subdivisions and are going to purchase overpriced land for senior housing with tax money, and yet you will not allow a person to build their own home as they choose because CDD staff is bound to rigid rules rather than guided by common sense. I no longer believe you when you say you are working to create affordable housing. I don't know where your values are. Do you know it will cost almost $500,000 to build a simple two-bedroom home on top of a garage? And that doesn't include the price of land. We aren't asking for money. We're asking to have a map approved. Until you go through the process of trying to build a house, you have no idea what it is like. I can tell you that it is terrible, and I now understand why people will buy a $300,000 fixer-upper instead of building new. I now understand why most new housing is cookie-cutter versions of the same house built by contractors. I ask that you investigate the true causes of unaffordable housing in Juneau. I believe that you will find the answer is in the regulations written and interpreted by the CBJ staff. Until this is addressed, Juneau will continue to be plagued by unaffordable housing and an exodus of young families. Thanks.
Thank you. Any clarifying questions? Seeing and hearing none, thank you for your testimony. And then we have Emily Ferry. And you also will have 3 minutes, and please state your name and the area of town or street you live on.
Thank you very much. My name is Emily Ferry. I live at 836 Calhoun Avenue. My next door neighbor is 826 Calhoun Avenue, which if you're a cab driver, you might know as the governor's annex because they get so many calls to go from there to the liquor store and back. It is a home that was a lovely home at one point in time, but over the last dozen years, I've watched it turn into, literally rot into the ground as housing, as city codes have not been enforced on that particular piece of property, which was owned by a known landlord who owned multiple pieces of the property. I'm here tonight to express my support for the message that you just heard from Lisa, that in this community, it feels if you are a contractor, if you are a slumlord, if you don't follow the rules but move ahead, you get away with it. If you are a family trying to create affordable housing for your family, your community, and you follow the rules, you get penalized. This is not the first story I've heard. Multiple other friends have applied for variances, a 4-foot setback to build a kitchen on their home. Again, after a lengthy, lengthy process, they were denied. It's a huge waste of time and money and goodwill if we're not applying standards fairly and we're not being transparent. We're not supporting our community in developing affordable housing. So I, again, second Lisa's concerns. I think that most people involved have good intentions. I think there is an issue with the system and how the rules are being applied. So thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you. Any questions from Ms. Ferry? Thank you for your testimony. Any other member of the public wishes to speak on non-agenda items? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move to the consent agenda. Any public requests for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Seeing any assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Ms. Gladyszewski, assembly action.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, the consent agenda is approved. That brings us to public hearing. Item A, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2019-06P, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $10,000 as partial funding for the Housing and Homelessness Services Coordinator Project, grant funding provided by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
CBJ's FY20 budget was set at $100,000 for the Housing and Homelessness Services Coordinator grant. However, the Mental Health Trust Authority approved a grant award of $110,000 to better coordinate local housing and homelessness services. This ordinance is for the remaining $10,000. FY21 renewal grant is estimated to be $110,000 also and will be fully included in next year's budget request. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-06P. Can I say as written?
You can just leave it at P.
Oh, P. Right. Can I ask for unanimous consent?
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, Ordinance 2019-06P is adopted. All right, item B, Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2020-02, an ordinance regulating commercial rental provision and use of shared micromobility devices.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would prohibit commercial rental or use of micro-mobility devices on the docks, seawalk, streets, and sidewalks of downtown Juneau. Micro-mobility devices include bikes, e-bikes, scooters, and e-scooters. This ordinance would not regulate private use of micro-mobility devices. Assembly Committee of the Whole discussed the underlying policies at its meeting on December 2nd, 2019, and provided recommendations to the Assembly, which resulted in this ordinance. The subsequent ordinance on the agenda, 2020-03, is an optional choice for the Assembly. So I would recommend that the Assembly either pass this ordinance 2020-02 or refer it to committee and extend the moratorium in 2020-03. So therefore, I recommend that you adopt this ordinance or 2020-03.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I'm looking at Ms. Attorney because it seemed to me we needed to adopt the sunset ordinance anyway.
If you do not pass this ordinance 2020-02, then there's the option of extending the sunset date on the prior ordinance. It's 2019-12. That is the sunset date of February 1st, 2020, and that is to prohibit dockless vehicles within Juneau. So the sunset date one, 2020-03, is just an extension of this moratorium, basically keeping the status quo for more time to deliberate the ordinance 2020-02. This is the first time the Assembly is seeing this ordinance. This is based on the recommendations made at the Committee of the Whole. This is the first time you're seeing the actual language.
Okay, so in a nutshell, if we want to continue work on 2020-02 back at the COW, we need to approve the sunset.
You need to approve the sunset unless you want to just let the dockless moratorium just expire.
All right. Thank you for clearing that up. And I have Mr. Cedar Stark to talk on this ordinance. Please state your name and area of town or street you live on, and he gets 3 minutes, Madam Clerk.
All right, thank you, Madam Mayor. My name is Cedar Stark, and I live on North Douglas Highway in Bonnie Bray. And I'm here to ask you guys to reconsider 2020-02 ordinance and eliminate some of, or change some of the language, specifically part 20.20.020A. and B, 2, and 3, where it says no person or business can offer or lead tours with micro-mobility devices or engage in the commercial business of renting or providing for use of a micro-mobility device within the proposed described prohibited downtown area. My partner, Nate Soboleff, who couldn't be here tonight, and I were both born and raised here in Juneau, and we understand and appreciate the concern for preventing congestion in the downtown area. And we support a ban on docked and dockless vehicles in the downtown area. However, we're starting an e-bike tour rental business, and our headquarters are going to be within the proposed prohibited area. And we will be offering tours outside the prohibited area, but part of the business mission is to promote a reduction in people's carbon footprint, which we believe aligns with CBJ's goals. Also, and we want to do that by promoting the use of electric vehicles and e-bikes specifically. And we want to be able to offer our visitors a way to get outside and explore the city without the use of fossil fuels. And by closing that whole area to down to rentals, e-bikes, and guided e-bike tours, you're preventing access to Thane Road and other parts of town. And we believe we can educate our clients about places to avoid in order to prevent congestion. And also, our guides can prevent groups from stopping in problem areas. And we just ask that you don't shut the door on a green mode of transportation at a time when every little bit counts. And, you know, really, we appreciate all you guys' work in making Juneau a progressive city and sustainable place to live. And just ask that you allow a corridor along that area, at least to be able to access certain parts of the town, and or maybe at least take a little more time to consider it. And just want to thank you for all your hard work.
All right, thank you. Any clarifying question for Mr. Stark? Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Where is your base of operations located? You said that was in this area.
It would be located on South Franklin, just south of the tram a little ways.
And you anticipate that that would be the origination of tours from that location?
Well, we want to offer rentals from there for people to, you know, come and rent bikes from us and, you know, take it out Thane Road or through town. And then we would also, we would pick people up from the waterfront area with the van and trailer and shuttle them to other locations outside of the area for our main tours. But we want the option to maybe offer guided tours through town as well, and we're willing to avoid certain areas if that would help.
Any other questions for Mr. Stark? All right, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Is there any other member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly, and I'm going to come to Ms. Glashevsky.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that we move this to the COW. I think we spent a lot of time talking about dockless vehicles and scooters, but it's the first time we saw this language, and I'm not sure. I have a bunch of questions, and I think we can just spend a little bit of time in the COW on figuring out exactly what some of these things mean, and especially since we just heard what we just heard. So if we could just have send it to the committee, I think that'd be helpful.
Are you saying that as a motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Any objections to the motion saying it to the committee of the whole? Mr. Bryson.
I have to recuse myself from this vote. Conflict of interest.
All right. Thank you for that. Any objections? Okay, seeing and hearing none, we will move this to the Committee of the Whole. I should have waited until he got a little further away. Okay, item C. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance 2020-03, an ordinance extending the sunset date relating to the prohibition of commercial rental or provision of dockless vehicles and the imposition of a permit moratorium.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Ordinance 2019-12 imposed a temporary moratorium related to dockless vehicles through February 1, 2020. On December 2, 2019, the Assembly Committee of the Whole discussed regulating dockless vehicles and provided recommendations to the Assembly, which resulted in Ordinance 2020-02, which you just referred to the COW. Given the breadth of the draft regulations and the upcoming expiration of the moratorium imposed by 2019-12, this ordinance would give the Assembly additional time to discuss Ordinance 2020-02 while maintaining the moratorium. In order to maintain the moratorium, I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Ms. Attorney, do you have your hand up?
Or? Oh, no.
Okay. any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2020-03, an ordinance extending the sunset date relating to the prohibition of commercial rental or provision of dockless vehicles and the imposition of a permit moratorium, and ask for unanimous consent.
Object.
Any objections? It's going to get me confused again. Ms. Hale.
thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is only for purposes of a question, and it is on the page 2 of the ordinance on page 150 of our packet. The effective date says that this ordinance shall be effective 30 days after its adoption, but the ordinance it's replacing has a moratorium that goes through February 1st, 2020, so we have a gap there, and are we fine with that gap? Is that a problem?
Yeah, it's a 12-day gap. So what would happen is...
Madam Attorney. Oh,
sorry, through the chair. yes, there is a 12-day gap, but right now no one could apply for a permit until February 2nd, and then there would they would not be able to receive a permit between then and 12 because we'd still be in that period, but they'd be on notice, basically.
Thank you. I remove my objection.
All right. Any further objections? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, that motion passes. That brings us to item D.
Ordinance 2019-060, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $250,000 as funding for the River Road car cleanup, funding provided by the Waste Management Funds Fund Balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
A property owner on River Road established an illegal junkyard with approximately 260 vehicles. The Community Development Department initiated a code enforcement action. A series of court orders authorized the CBJ to hire a contractor to clean up the junkyard with all costs paid by the property owner. This ordinance would temporarily fund the cleanup costs from the Waste Management Fund. Through the court, an escrow account is intercepting $10,000 per month from the sale of the property owner's business to fully reimburse the CBJ. Later in your packet, there is a staff report with more detail on this situation entitled River Road Cleanup. I recommend that you take public testimony on this topic before you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. And we have Mr. Kim Titus signed up. So please state your name, area of town, or street you live on, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. Good evening. My name is Kim Titus. I'm the homeowner at 4638 River Road. I'm commenting on the ordinance before you. I'm a 31-year homeowner immediately adjacent to the 4650 River Road property that's before you this evening. I have about 250 feet of property adjacent to the property in question that I own, adjacent to the junkyard. This is our local junkyard, or mine, in part, with heavy equipment storage and a former home to the Juneau's largest towing business, Capital Towing. This property is more than just a car storage area. It contains Connex trailers, buses, heavy equipment, and a lot of stuff, including what seems to be a car repair business of sorts. First, I want to thank the CBJ staff, especially Mr. Nate Watts, Ms. Jill McLean, and community development staff for taking on this residential neighborhood junkyard issue over the past few years. And I also want to thank the city manager's office and Department of Law for investing significant staff resources in trying to make this neighborhood quiet and junkyard free. I've endured a lot of pain and agony over this junkyard over a number of years, of late night noise, calling the police, heavy equipment, the 24/7 towing traffic, car repair, junkyard business, and as you can see, a lot of stuff. I thank you. Presently, the property is mostly quiet most of the time. Myself and neighbors have witnessed this buildup of vehicles and other stuff for a number of years, and we brought this to the attention of CBJ and community development. This has resulted in a number of letters, formal complaints to the homeowner, property owner, from community development. All of that has been for naught as far as I can see. This is not for lack of trying. So skipping ahead to the current legal action, I'm pleased that beginning in April 2019, a lawsuit was filed, and it continues in very small steps. I've gone to a number of the court proceedings. Unfortunately, from my perspective, most of the legal requirements have not been met month after month. The CBJ Law Department and the court have been very patient. I guess I have been too. I share a few concerns in summary regarding the appropriation. This cleanup continues to drag on. Despite a multitude of court orders, there seems to be no consequences to the slow pace of action. Few, if any, court requirements have been met. Having said this, I guess I support the 30-day extension from the defendant in this case, as long as the court and CBJ impose hours of operations, etc. I just don't want to see more midnight heavy equipment operations. I have a few more things to say, but I'll stop.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Titus. Any clarifying questions for Mr. Titus? Ms. Glaszewski.
So the 30-day extension, you think you said it?
I guess I've endured this for 5-6 years. 30 days is fine. I'm concerned about whether CBJ will ever recover the costs. I'm also concerned that the $10,000 mentioned in the escrow account, as of last Friday, 4 or 5 months into this, $0 had been put into that escrow account. I was in court and heard it. So I'm concerned about the liability CBJ will have down the road in this issue, and you'll never get your money back. And as a taxpayer, that's something myself and my neighbors have discussed when I've talked to them, because they all stop me on the road. Kim, what's going on? What's happening? Is it finally getting cleaned up? So on and so forth. Thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Fayette. Any other public comment on this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Treanor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-060 and ask unanimous consent.
Ms. Glaszewski.
I object.
Do you want to speak
sure.
to your objection?
I object because I'm concerned about not getting this money back. I think the neighborhood has been patient, and another month, if it's even possible that the responsible party can get more cars off the property and reduce that cost, I just think that it will be hard for us to get our money back. And I want to keep the pressure on the property owner. I don't want them to think we're going to do this again. But if, according to, we got a bunch of documents from the property owner, responsible party, that suggests that they will do more in the next month. And I would hope that we could. It doesn't matter to me which one we don't do, either the appropriation or the River Road cleanup bid award. One of two of those I would like us not to do, so that we could wait for 30 days and see if they could get more cars off the property to reduce our cost.
Thank you, Ms. Glaszewski. Any further?
I don't mean to be out of order, but we could skip the bid award as well.
Okay, Mr. Smith, and then Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I guess I'm kind of curious, and maybe the manager can help me understand, what is a way to keep moving and keep the pressure up, yet allow the landowner to hopefully do the right thing and take action?
Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, so our attorneys and our community development staff have been appearing regularly in court and have been asking the judge to ask for status updates. And I believe that they understand that strategy, and I think everybody understands that the best option is that the property owner clean the property up themselves. So I think we maintain that legal strategy. I think appropriating funds to the manager, the $250,000, keeps the ball moving, but it doesn't expend the funds. They can always be deappropriated later. Perhaps your more pivotal decision is authorizing the manager to award the contract for a contractor to enter the private property and spend the public funds to clean it up. Ms. Glaszewski, the deputy mayor, advised some risk of recouping our funds. She's accurate. I think that any time we spend public funds to clean up a private property, and it is rare, we run a significant risk of not recouping those funds. So that's not an unlike outcome that we would only recover a percentage of them. The testifier, Mr. Titus, he's correct. The defendant has been slow
to have funds provided into the escrow account as envisioned and directed by the judge. So it is a difficult situation. I think as Mr. Titus, the testifier, advised, it's gone on a long time. I think probably the best course of action to keep things moving would be to appropriate the funds and not authorize the bid award and continue the bid award until the February 3rd assembly meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Bott. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So the question I have, I guess what I'm hearing, I'll refer to the question, what I'm hearing,
Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, I'm not a great forecaster of human behavior, but I think we can always be hopeful that people will improve their behavior, although I think in this case we have to admit that it's very unlikely.
Yes, Mr. Edwardson.
Would it be fair to say, like in every social situation, every professional situation, that the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior?
Mm-hmm. Madam Mayor, I would agree with Mr. Edwardson on his forecasting method.
All right. Mr. Bryson and then Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had two questions, and they might involve compliance, code compliance officer, Mr. Watts. The first question is, I was thinking the same thing that Mr. Edwardson was. How many cars have been moved in the past 14 days? This gentleman is serious about cleaning up his car mess. What has he been doing in the last 2 weeks as we've been getting down to the wire? And then if this property owner is actively engaged and moves massive quantities of cars but does not complete the task, how will that change the bid if there's only 50 cars left as opposed to 250 cars left? What's it been doing and how much is it going to cost us if he does do it?
Mr. Watt?
Madam Mayor, I'll start this, but I may need assistance from the attorney or the community development director. So I do believe the property owner has been active in moving some cars from the site. I do not know that those cars are going to a permitted location. They may be actually ending up in a location where we'll have a subset of the current problem in a different location. I think Ms. McLean probably has the most accurate numbers on cars over time in different locations.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Ms. McLean.
Thank you. So as of, we were in court last Friday, as Mr. Titus mentioned, and within a couple of weeks prior to that, about 50 cars had moved off of the site is what we've heard. Mr. Watts did do a site inspection on Thursday, last Thursday, and counted approximately 260 vehicles, not counting the Connexes, boats, ATVs, et cetera. And as Mr. Watts said, too, they are not necessarily going somewhere where they are properly permitted to be moved to, as far as we know. And so the other point, though, I also wanted to make, too, if I could, to Mr. Edwardson's question about future behavior. Not that I disagree, but I do want to clarify that Mr. Lossalong no longer owns Capital Towing, so hopefully that in and of itself would diminish the amount of activity that he could further incur on that property.
Mr. Manager, you want to add something?
Madam Mayor, it is one thing. So we are in a peculiar situation as a public entity trying to follow our procurement rules to bid out the disposal of these cars, which is a problem. Under a normal municipal procurement, we would properly bid the situation at hand. In this case, it's a moving target, so it is necessarily an order of magnitude more difficult for us to do that. We're not set up to bid procurement of a cleanup on private property. So it is likely that there would be contract resolution with a contractor, either more or less, to complete the cleanup. And I would just simply state that that's unfortunate, but that's not our doing. Again, it is our preference not to enter into private property, but if there is a owner who is uncooperative and we are forced to do that, then the costs of that cleanup would be incurred, and then we would pursue collection of them as vigorously as we're able.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. We have Ms. Hale, Ms. Treem, and Ms. Gladyszewski, and then Mr. Jones just jumped in.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think my question is really, it's related to Mr. Edwardson's question, but the question is also along the lines of if past behavior has indicated that the owner of this property has not been willing to clean up these cars, why would we believe that future behavior would be any different? And CDD staff and the Department of Law and the manager's office have invested a lot of energy and effort into this problem, and I believe that these ordinances are before us essentially because that's their recommended action, and it is certainly my tendency to support that action. I don't see the owner of this property, don't imagine that he will be doing a whole lot of work to clean this up.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First of all, if we did clean it up, if the property owner no longer runs a towing company, I don't know where the property owner would acquire another 250 cars. But I do have some questions. My first question is, what does one do with 260 junk cars, and how does one get rid of them? And my second question is, what is the level that will bring this property owner into compliance? I mean, we're not mandating that they make their property beautiful and landscaped. So what is the level that makes them, brings them into compliance?
Who's getting this one? Ms. McLean?
So to your second question, the property is located in a D3 zoning district, which only allows for single family and duplexes for the most part. There are a couple of commercial uses that are allowed, but certainly not a junkyard. And so we would expect him to come into compliance and be a single family home or duplex. Accessory apartment would be permissible. And because it's about 3 acres, we've been trying to act in good faith with the property owner that he would be allowed to keep a certain number of vehicles, but not nearly 200 or even 25. And then as far as the junk vehicles and what we do with them, typically an individual owner, if you had a junk vehicle that you were to try to get rid of, you could go through Skookum and they have their car crusher, and then it's crushed and it's taken out of the borough. Our intent with a contractor, just so that the assembly is clear, is that we would be paying a contractor to remove the vehicles from the borough. They're not allowed to keep the vehicles, and they have to move them from the borough, so there's no chance of them ending up on a street or at a park or a junk vehicle for someone else to own and still remain here. So I think that's a key point that we should mention, too.
Thank you. And did your two questions get answered? Okay. And then Ms. Gladyszewski.
This is about the sort of more about the bid, about how does the bid just affects whether I'm going to vote on this depending on which one we do, but so according to some of the materials we got from the land owner, the property owner, the bid wasn't per vehicle. So if he does, if there were 400 at the time and now there's only 50, we're still going to pay $330,000 for 50, not per vehicle. Is that correct? Is that was that assertion true?
Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, again, as a public entity following public procurement rules, the normal course of action, we would state the conditions and requirements of the bid. And then the contractor would bid them. And if there were changes to the conditions or requirements, then we would negotiate that change. So when we put out our bid solicitation, we were fixed at a point in time that the owner has then changed those conditions.
Right.
So we would be in a position of negotiating a change to the contract after we awarded it, which is not the way that most people would approach this. Most people not having a duty to provide notice to bidders in the newspaper and bid periods and whatnot wouldn't follow our process.
And was it 400? That's at some point I saw a number 400. Is that correct?
Ms. McLean?
So back in July when we once we entered court and then did a site inspection, there was 421 or 27 vehicles on the site. As of last Thursday, there are 260, and I believe the bid was put out for 275.
Okay.
And the 260, what with the snow and all, is probably a plus or minus 10 vehicles.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And let's see here. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. I know we've talked about past behavior being a predictor, and I know that we were talking about the landowner, but I would remind the assembly it applies to us as well. I have sat through 4 years of debate on whether we could ever get paid back, whether we should take private property on Gaston Apartments. We've dealt with the Bergman. We've dealt with several other properties, and this assembly has past behavior has been reluctant to do that, but we always end up doing it. It's just 3 or 4 years later. And if we don't act now, we don't provide the funds, and we don't do what needs to be done, we will be here 6 months from now, we will be here a year from now, we will be here 18 months from now debating the same thing. So if we're worried about the landowner's behavior being predictive of future, we should look at our own self, and we need to move forward.
Okay, Mr. Edwardson, and I can't tell Mr. Smith if you want to talk or not. Okay, Mr. Edwardson, and then Mr. Smith.
Thank you, and I think I highly regard Mr. Jones' opinion on this and his experience on the assembly, but this is one of those situations where it seems like if we don't approve the funding, then we're going to be here 6 months or a year from now. And I think if we do approve the funding, we're going to be here again 6 months to a year from now. So that's the kind of thing that I'm worried about. This person will still own the property. Where is he going to accumulate the cars from? Well, you know, he'd make the money off having those cars on his property now. There's nothing to assume that he's not going to later on. So I'm still not decided on this. You know, do we vote for the money and hope that things get better, or I don't know where to go. I do appreciate the work that the staff put into this, and I know the increased use of property law and the steps that we have to take in order to do anything. So now I'm just babbling. I'm not decided on this, but I'm not convinced that the situation is going to be any better if we put $260,000 into it.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I guess just briefly, just because it is public money, could you speak briefly, could staff speak briefly on how we could recoup this money? I imagine liens, but just very briefly on what that might look like.
They're all looking at Madam Attorney.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Smith. That is one of the big things is after we get a contract in place, we would have the right to go lien the property as security for that. We are also in court. We are, I will say, not intercepting the $10,000 a month, but we are intercepting money in a trust account from the third party who has purchased Capital Towing. There's no money in it right now. We're waiting for the court ruling on another issue. Perfect world, we'll have money in the account by Friday. But that is another place where we're intercepting money is from the third-party purchaser of Capital Towing and, again, the lien and getting a judgment and then going after accounts.
All right. Thank you, Madam Attorney. Mr. Smith?
So if we do know something on Friday, I mean, would that give us a sense of if we're able to intercept money and know by Friday, would that be a recurring interception? Like, do we anticipate that?
I'm going to actually ask Ms. White because she's the one actively litigating this case. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's all right.
Through the chair. Mr. Smith, so currently the court order requires that the purchaser of capital towing put in $10,000 per month. That started in September. No money has gone in. We have asked the court to require a lump sum, and that purchaser has agreed to the lump sum of $20,000. It is supposed to go in on Friday if they get paid for some of their towing work. So we know that they have invoices. We know that the invoices are valid. We know that money will be moved in. And then from there, it will be $5,000 per month until September, and then move to $13,000 as of September. So it puts pressure on this property owner. So this money is supposed to be going to the property owner every month, and instead it's going into the account. It puts pressure on the property owner to get this done fast because they want their $13,000. Does that make sense?
All right, Ms. Gladyszewski, don't move.
For you, because you, per month, how much is the total that we can intercept in this manner? I don't know what the purchase price was, so you said $10,000 a month for how many months? So what's the total?
So until we can keep going for a very long time, the total is $525,000.
Okay. Suppose
maybe that will help. Mr. Bryson, did you have a comment?
I believe it's a comment, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
This is the wrong time. I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. The comment that I'd like to make is that if we do not act tonight, after listening to everything that everybody's been saying here, that we will be dealing with this problem in the future. It will then take the problem and it will spread it out over time and over our town. As somebody alluded to earlier, if he's moved 50 cars, we still have the expense if he's taking it to Skookum. We're covering any disposal fee. If he's putting it in a non-permitted location, it's still our problem. It's still a cost to the city. As much as I don't want to spend a dime on this, I see the problem would only become, it would just be ongoing, and we're going to get stuck paying for it 6 months or a year. I completely agree with what Mr. Moore said. We're going to pay for this problem down the road.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. All right.
Just ask one more question.
Okay, you get to ask one more question.
Just about the $500,000, is that for sure? I mean, is that real money that's...
Yes.
I want to know how real that is.
So the $500,000 is real money. There was a contract between Bootlegger Security and Mr. Lossel Young for that purchase. It's been signed. It's a valid contract. That is a valid $500,000.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. Okay, Ms. Hale and then Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The briefest of comments. As a 30-year environmental professional, I just also have to note that there is undoubtedly some really ugly hazardous waste messes on this property, just so we're aware of.
All right. So, Mr. Edwardson, so you're the only one that hasn't said one way or the other how you're going to vote. Please let us know.
Thank you. My question is for Ms. Bowen, and that is, in the future, if we get to the point where we have to go to meetings, are you going to need anything more from the assembly at that point?
Through the chair, no, not to lien property.
All right. Okay. I'll make a quick comment, and then we'll take a vote, unless Ms. Gladyszewski can remove it. CDD has been working on this since 2016, so, and they have given the property owner every chance possible to do this voluntarily. Has not, so I will be voting for this ordinance. So, Ms. Gladyszewski, it's up to you. You had an objection?
I'll remove my objection for this one. I will object on the next one.
Okay, any objections for item D? Seeing and hearing none, motion passes. Okay. Are we good or we need a little break? Okay, we're moving on. Moving on to new business. Item A.
Madam Mayor, we have a hardship late filed for property exemption from
Ms. Jeanette Miller, packet page 152 of your packet. The assessor's office has reviewed the application and determined that the applicant's declared income and household side would have qualified if the exemption had been filed in a timely manner. It is before the assembly on whether or not to approve the late file. A motion to approve the late file would suffice.
All right, thank you, Mr. Manager. We'll come to the assembly then. Ms. Hale. Oh, wait, you just did the last one. Sorry, Mr. Edwardson. You just need to make a motion for us to approve the late file.
Yeah, I move that we approve the late file.
Okay, any objections? Seeing, hearing none, we approve it. So, item B, Juneau Historic and Cultural Preservation Plan. Mr. Manager.
Madam Mayor, you have a copy of the plan in your packets, and we will be scheduling this for an update and information at the Committee of the Whole. This is just an information item tonight.
Right. Any questions now, or are we going to wait for Committee of the Whole? Mr. Edwardson.
I'm looking for electronically and not finding an electronic memo.
Madam Mayor, we will circulate an electronic link.
Okay, thank you. And apparently there is a hard copy in your box. And Mr. Manager, do we need a motion to move that to the Committee of the Whole?
We do not.
Okay, thank you. All right, now item C, our bid for the River Road cleanup. And Mr. Manager, is that going to you or Ms. Bullen?
Yes.
Mr. Manager.
Ms. Mayor, bid number 20-128 River Road cleanup. CBJ Public Works Recycle Works Program requested bids from qualified persons or firms to provide cleanup of a private property located on River Road in Juneau, Alaska. Contractor will collect, process, package, transport, and dispose of approximately 260 vehicles and associated debris to a properly licensed and permitted facility located outside of the city and borough. Contractor will process vehicles, remove fluids, tires, and batteries, and dispose of them as appropriate. Bids were opened on December 10, 2019. Protest period ended on December 12, 2019. Two bids were received. I recommend award of bid number 20-128 to Island Contractors, Inc. in the amount of $330,000.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. So we need to do a motion on this. It will bring us to Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move that the Assembly approve bid number 20-128.
$330,000. Yeah, I'm going to object. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just object, go ahead.
Just for a permit of a question, but if someone else was. I'm just objecting for the purpose of a question. You said earlier that you would, if there was less cars, you could negotiate that down. And so I'm assuming we're not tied to that $330,000. Mr. Manager?
Madam Mayor, like all public procurements, we'll have to negotiate changes to the contract depending on what actually happens.
All right. Thank you. So I withdraw my objection. Any objections?
Objection.
Ms. Gladyszewski.
Yeah. The 260 vehicles closes about $1,300 a vehicle. I'm still worried about getting the money back. I don't think waiting a month to do this the next time would be harmful. We've waited a long time, not suggesting we wait 6 months or a year. If the property owner can get more removed, it will cost less to him and to us. So I would be willing to, I am willing to wait a month. And I think with public money worried about getting it back, I'm willing to give it a try.
Thank you. Mr. Bryson, did you have a And then Ms. Hale.
I had an explanation. If I sold a business and I still had $100,000 outstanding debts to vendors and payroll, and I sold the business for $500,000 like this guy, I would still have to pay the $100,000. This guy sold a business and this leftover component is his final expense. He did not complete the business, so he sold the business without shutting it down and completing it and disposing of all excess material. He failed to complete the final transaction of his business. We have his business sale price on the hook, same as anybody that sold a business that had vendors that were still outstanding. We are his vendor that's outstanding. We act on this, and then we make the guy pay for it. He shouldn't have collected 400 cars over the course of his business, and now he's got to pay.
Thank you, Mr. Price. And Ms. Hale?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a question for Ms. Bowen.
Yes.
If the contract is let, does that prevent the property owner from continuing to dispose of vehicles, or does he have to stop disposing of vehicles as soon as the contractor starts disposing of vehicles?
I'll look at Ms. Wright, because I do not believe that actually will prevent him. Yeah.
Through the chair, that wouldn't prevent him. Nothing prevents him from moving forward at any point. And if you do allow the negotiation of the contract, that does take time. It's not like we're going to be able to do it the next day. So I will just throw that out there. He will continue to have time.
Thank you.
Any further comments? So, okay, Mr. Smith.
I guess I'm curious, how can we ensure that he's disposing of them in the correct way? And like,
Mr. Manager is going to take that one on.
Madam Mayor, in short, we can't keep track of everybody all the time, so we don't entirely know what he's up to. We do know that he's moved a number of vehicles to a particular location, and so we've opened a new case on that. But we do not know exactly what he's doing.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. All right. Ms. Treem.
I just want to say, for that reason, I think we should just get this done with as soon as possible, because it's going to continue to be our problem. It'll be even a more complicated problem when these vehicles are dispersed all around the borough. We're a landlocked community. It sounds very expensive to move a junk car from Juneau outside of Juneau. And I think if we wait, that expense is just going to accrue, and we'll end up paying it anyway.
All right, Ms. Train. So we have a motion. We have an objection. Madam Clerk, will you call roll?
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
Yes. I'm usually last, but yes.
My bad. Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
And Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Motion passes 7-1.
7-1.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. You're doing a great job.
I'm as red as my shirt now.
So, anyway, that brings us to staff reports. Mr. Manager, do you have a staff report, or just Mr. Yucatel?
Mr. Yucatel is here, and I think he would be pleased to give us an update.
Mr. Yucatel, come on up. Thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yep, I was asked to do an update on the Lumberman. So you probably know by now that the Lumberman moved Saturday night. We got word that it had, with the high tide and the winds, had drug anchor, and it was 100 yards off Norway Point. At that point, we had conversations with the Coast Guard, Marine Exchange of Alaska, AMAC Towing, and the Harbor Master and I had discussions, and we had a game plan. The Coast Guard yesterday opened up what's called the Oil Spill Liability Trust Fund and took money from that fund. That's a nationally managed fund. basically it's from OPA 90, which there's a tax on oil that's produced, and so they have the ability to draw from that fund. So they use that, open that fund, and they hired AMAC Towing to bring it to the inside of the CT dock. So the CT dock is the cruise ship dock closest to Twisted Fish. The inside, we have an inside berth there for small cruise ships. It's going to be there until we dispose of it, we being Docks and Harbors. We will start a process to impound it legally. At that point in the process to impound, if the responsible party does not come forward, we will offer it up for sale. In that offer for sale, we will put some kind of stipulations on it that says it's got to be moved out of CBJ waters, and it can't be placed on DNR waters, and we'll see where that goes. Told my staff that we will have it either scuttled, demolished, or relocated by the 15th of April in time, because we need it for the cruise season. So that's, we've got a plan, and we have received unsolicited proposals to demolish it, and it is several hundred thousand dollars. So we will have to be smart about how we move forward with this project. But you know, it's Docks and Harbors. You know, it was on our submerged lands Saturday, and we'll take responsibility for it, and we'll deal with it.
Thank you, Mr. Yucatel. Any questions? Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Mr. Yucatel, and I'm sorry that you've inherited this. Is it a steel boat?
It is steel.
Thank you.
And we did, I don't know if you remember, in August, there was Coast Guard divers and Army divers were in town. We were working with them. They were looking for training opportunities. They dove on the hull, so we think the hull is in fairly good shape. You know, there's other stakeholders that helped us along the way in kind of nursing the Lumberman. DIPAC loaned us a anchor. We'll return that anchor now that it's, you know, moored at one of our facilities. My staff will be removing all the debris. There's a lot of trash on it, but we can use our boom truck and just move the tons of trash that's still on it. We'll monitor so that it doesn't sink. That'd be the worst thing that would happen. It would sink at our facility, but we'll monitor it closely, and we think we have a good as plan as we can moving forward with it.
I didn't see who was first, so I'll go with Ms. Vladishevsky.
Thank you. Sorry that you set your dock, our dock. The owner just walked away and walked away? I mean, is that... I mean, obviously, the owner. Well, go ahead. You answer.
Well, the owner. We know the owner. The owner, last known address is the Glory Hall, so has no means.
Okay. Thank
you. All right, Mr. Smith.
Thank you. Sorry, you were talking about the state spill response fund, but I mean, is there, now that it's at the dock? I mean, is it going to be solely a city or borough expense, or are there other federal government, state government, is there anything to help fray the cost to us for this?
Yeah, there's no other partners at this point. So the Coast Guard opened up the oil spill liability trust fund primarily because they made the argument that where it was at on Saturday night was navigational risk. And so they were able to open the oil spill liability trust. They also use that same fund. It's probably been 2 years already where they actually went on, paid I think Global about $60,000 to pump off all the hazardous waste at that time. But at this point, there are, and that's an issue throughout the maritime states, that there's no fund to take care of derelict vessels. So it's just the last municipality standing has that responsibility.
Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you. And this isn't a question, it's just a comment because I have a background in the lumberman and abandoned the derelict vessels around southeast Alaska. As Mr. Yucatel said, this is a problem nationwide and that's a big problem in Alaska. The state of Alaska, the DNR, is actually a member of an organization that's trying to come up with laws and regulations that prevent this. But that they have uphill climb a couple of years ago. I think it was Representative Stephen at the time recommended legislation that would create a fund within the state to participate in these types of things because DNR has no funding for it. And they've sought special funding most years, and the special funding has gotten turned down every time. So that's where we sit, the same as all the other communities in the Southeast. Colleague of mine kept track of these for our office, and I think he estimated about 800 to 900 abandoned or derelict vessels in southeast Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Any further questions for Mr. Yucatel? Thank you for coming in, and I hope your support team wins.
Thank you.
Any other staff reports, Mr. Manager?
No other staff reports.
Thank you. So we'll move on to assembly reports. So first, the mayor's report. So I will hand out our goals, and this should be our final copy. This is your last chance to say anything. And hopefully everybody will be comfortable with the final goals tonight. And just again, thank you to Ms. Deputy Manager and all the rest of the staff for helping with this. So we've seen them several of times. Ms. Bajeshev, did we get a motion to approve the goals?
I would approve the Assembly Goals 2020 as you just passed out.
All right. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, they are approved. All right. Continuing on my mayor's report, there is a delegation breakfast at 8 a.m. We need to make sure because for some reason some of you guys have an invite for 7, but it's at 8 a.m. on Wednesday in the chambers. So all the assembly members, please come to that as you're able. And also on Wednesday, we have a joint hospital board and assembly meeting at 5:30, and the agenda says incorrectly that it's at the hospital boardroom, and it is not. It will also be at the assembly chambers, and we'll fix that. And thank you for Ms. Hale for spotting that with your eagle eye. Apologize for that. So
been on the calendar that way for weeks.
Okay, we'll fix that. Sorry. Martin Luther King Day is coming up on Monday, and I am going to be out of town checking on my Marine. So they have asked me, I spoke at this last year, and they have asked me if anybody would like to speak from the assembly. So I'm looking for a speaker, and you guys don't all have to cringe now, but please let me know tomorrow if you're willing to do either speaker for the city at Martin Luther King Day. So, and we'll get that to Susan. So, and then only two other items for me because I just mainly just had meetings. But I just wanted to say happy 50th anniversary to Lauren and Leray Jones.
Yay.
And they had a nice reception, so thank you for that. So and just happy new year, and we'll go to our committee. We're doing this a little bit different, like we started to, so we'll go to our chair's reports first, and we'll start with human resources. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Human Resource Committee met, or the full assembly met as the Human Resource Committee for Docks and Harbor appointment and Planning Commission. We appointed James Falk to Docks and Harbor, term beginning immediately, not have the end date. That's something I need right now, Madam Mayor.
Oh, okay. We've already approved it at a special assembly meeting.
I need it. All right, and then we also approved Josh Winchell, Ken Elper, and Dan Hickok to the Planning Commission.
All right, thank you. And then we'll move to our lands. Mr. Edwardson.
I don't really have anything to report for the group.
All right, thank you. Public Works, Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to make a note that the next Public Works Committee meeting is this Wednesday at noon. So that is Wednesday, the 15th of January, and that's a little different. And thank you, everyone, for moving that. And we've got a fairly full agenda. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hale. And Committee of the Whole, Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met on January 6th. We did not get a presentation from LEGO Robotics, hoping they'll be able to come back. We talked about senior housing, which was introduced today. We talked about our goals, which we just adopted. We also heard about waterfront leasing process. The next Committee of the Whole meeting is February 10th. Do you want the presiding officer report?
No.
Okay.
We're just doing committee chairs now. Thank you. And finance, Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Finance Committee met on January 8th. There were four of us in person, two people on the phone, and three people not in contact at all. We had a review of the risk fund. We moved to the assembly the sales tax code, which was introduced today. We instructed staff to develop the ordinances to pay for the school bond debt for FY20 from the fund balance, and decided that the FY21 and on would be dealt with during the budget cycle. We also talked about Centennial Hall, and I believe we asked the administration to bring back what is necessary for $7 million for Centennial Hall to use the $4.5 million of sales tax, and $2.5 million would come from the central treasury to be paid back by the hotel bed tax. And our next meeting is on the 5th of February.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. And Mr. Jones, I don't believe we've had a school facilities meeting since our last time we reported.
We have not. I'm trying to get it scheduled for the 16th of February.
Thank you. And Eagle Crest Summer Operations Task Force, Ms. Gladyszewski.
The Eagle Crest Operations Task Force met the first Thursday of the month, and that's the time it will be scheduled to meet next February as well, starting at 12:05 instead of 12 o'clock. We talked about the process for deciding what were the next steps, and the Eagle Crest manager and the city manager are going to work on getting out an RFP regarding financial analysis.
Thank you, Ms. Gladyszewski. Visitor Industry Task Force, Ms. Train.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Visitor Industry Task Force held a regular meeting on the 7th. We heard from Captain White from the Coast Guard on what kinds of things fall under the jurisdiction of the and authority of the Coast Guard, and continued our discussion on management approaches. We also held our first public comment meeting Saturday, the 11th. We had a packed room for that. 25 people testified. And we will be holding another one of those this Thursday at 5:30 here in the Assembly Chambers. And I want everybody who might be participating to know that the time limit is 3 minutes. I think have been publicized in various places as 2 minutes, but I'm a very generous chair, and everybody gets 3 minutes. And then our next regular meeting will be January 21st, and we're moving those meetings to the evenings so we can hopefully have our conversations without time pressure. And that meeting will be at 7 p.m. here in Assembly Chambers.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Treem. And that gives us all our committees, so we're moving on to liaison reports and assembly comments. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I believe a happy birthday is in order for you. Was it on Saturday or something? You welcome.
Sunday, actually, but that's all right.
We were close.
Yes, we're both in Denver.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Eagle Crest Board met. They have a new videographer that is producing some really neat videos for them. The field house contract is up, and they're trying to negotiate and discuss if that's going to, if Mr. Scanlon is the most appropriate person for that field house contract. And they did mention that staff morale is up at Eagle Crest right now, with the exception of the lift operators. They're a bit cold these days. At PRAC last week, the DOT is wants to purchase more land, or got approved to purchase more land through PRAC for the Mendenhall Loop roundabout project. They're buying land for conservation, 7,800 square feet. And at that meeting, they let us know that they didn't have enough funding, so they removed the Floyd Dryden roundabout, so they're only doing one roundabout on Mendenhall Loop Road. And I went to Anchorage for the weekend. It was a little bit colder than here, but here we are. That's all, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the Planning Commission meeting last week, the Planning Commission elected new officers. Mr. Levine is the new chair, Mr. Dye is the vice chair, Mr. Volkers is the clerk, and Mr. Arndt is the vice clerk. They gave a decision about Lemon Creek Glacier Highway improvements, which include a roundabout, and that was on our consent agenda today. They also gave an update that there is a West Juneau Douglas Plan kickoff meeting this Wednesday on the 15th at the Douglas Library meeting room, starting at 5:30. A couple other community events of note. There's the Juneau reception. Hope I'm not stealing your thunder on that. For the Juneau Legislative Welcome Reception that the community puts on every year to welcome the legislature back. And that is next Wednesday, the 22nd, beginning at 5 o'clock, I believe, at Centennial Hall. And that is the day after the legislature convenes. Another opportunity for folks to get in touch with their legislators on Wednesday at the Mendenhall Valley Library. The Juneau delegation is having a town hall at 5 o'clock at the Mendenhall Valley Library. And just one fun thing. Ms. Hugh Scandies and I last month visited Haven House, a home for women coming out of incarceration. They cooked dinner. We got to talk and hear their stories. Just very inspiring to hear these women that are getting their lives back on track and putting in the work. So a big shout out to those people in recovery that are doing the hard work. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Both Travel Juneau and the Chamber of Commerce have board retreats this month, but neither of those have happened yet. And the Aquatics Board meeting this month has also not happened. That will be held on January 21st. And Mr. Bryce and I have you beat because last week I was in Fairbanks and it was minus 40, which was pretty cool. I was there for a conference called Cotrone, which is a lower Tanana Dene Athabascan word. But the conference was about Alaska's just transition from a resource extraction economy to a regenerative economy. And it was absolutely a fabulous conference. I think the best conference I've ever been to. And I brought you back all a gift, the handout booklet on a strategic framework for a just transition. So I'll pass these out to you. And that's it.
Thank you, Ms. Treem. Ms. Hale, welcome back.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and fellow assembly members. I had a very, very relaxing vacation. I was quite sick for a good part of it, but as I said to my friends, it's better to be sick on a lanai in Hawaii than it is to be sick home in the cold. So, thank you for covering for me. The Bartlett Board met on the 19th of December. There was a changeover with some of the people on the board because of our recent appointments to that board. The Juneau Commission on Aging meets tomorrow. And I think that's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Edwardson.
Madam Mayor. Several courses that can be done, or that must be done in person. This is February 11th through the 14th, and given by U.S. Coast Guard Secretary Juneau Associate class. Let me see a couple of upcoming events. Women's March, I believe, is the 18th. For people who are interested in that. On the 22nd, and I may be wrong, AML might be sponsoring a rally for the Alaska Marine Highway System. So I just ordered that for a meeting today. The Friends of AMHS are planning a rally around the February 10th through the 12th time range. And I believe that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The school board has not met since our last assembly meeting. They meet tomorrow. They're still doing their strategic plan and starting into their budget process. Attend a lot of community meetings after the first as people geared up. Unlike Ms. Hale, I spent my holiday here in the cold and sick. But it was nice to have my family here and my grandkids here until the 4th of January, so that was always nice. In terms of assembly comments, I had been working with Mr. Rogers and with the attorney to look at assembly compensation. One of the comments that outgoing assembly member Mary Becker had talked about. Just briefly, the last change to the assembly compensation was 1986. The last change to the mayor's compensation was 1994. The planning commission change was 1998. And the Board of Education change was 1999, and then they changed it voluntarily on 2013, basically down. So I am asking for concurrence on the assembly to work with the attorney and come back with a proposal for changes, whether or not we move forward. Another question. But I do feel that it's time that we take a look at that. And given that the budget process is coming up, and if we make any changes at all, it won't take effect till after the October election for any of those who are on the assembly. So just asking permission to move ahead and try to bring back a draft ordinance to show to you all, and then you all can figure out what committees it might go to.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none? Okay. Come back with something.
I will try to. And then long as people are talking about future events, I think the Thursday that is the reception for the legislature, which is the 22nd,
it's a Wednesday.
It's from 5 to 6:30. Downtown Blueprint starts at 6, and Parks and Rec public meeting on Chicken Yard Park starts at 6:30 that same night.
I think it's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday, 22nd.
Yeah, you said Thursday, so that's what we confused.
Well, Thursday would be a better day. But it is the 22nd. And I would suggest that, if people are interested in either one of those subjects, that they at least get there for part of the time. And I'm sorry, we're meeting with the hospital board when they're looking at the Douglas plan, since I live over there, but I can't make every meeting, apparently. So that's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. You do try to make every meeting, though. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate everyone's talk about future events, because at least when we talk about past events that I missed, I feel bad, but at least I have an opportunity to go to the new ones. I have a presiding officer report for the Mountainside Estates Neighborhood Association. That appeal has been going on for a while, but on August 19th, issued a stay of the proceedings while the parties, by the request of both parties, to stay the proceedings while the applicant went through to the Planning Commission with a negotiated project. So that went to the Planning Commission in November and was approved. And then we waited 60 days for the appeal window to close. That closed. And so on December 27th, I signed an order dismissing the appeal. So that is over. Mountainside Estates, you don't have to read any documents. So the neighborhood and the developer worked it out, which is awesome. And then my only comments and question is, we had a couple of testifiers talking about CDD and processes, and maybe some Mr. Manager later we can hear about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Badaszewski. All right. Any member of the public wish to speak on non-agenda items? Seeing and hearing none. Anything further, Mr. Manager, Ms. Attorney? Okay, seeing nothing further, we are adjourned.
We're live and local at 104.3 KTOO Juneau. And this concludes the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly meeting. The time is 8:28, and your next assembly meeting will be on February 3rd, and thanks for joining us. I'm Martha Moore, your host. Good night.